A logo appears in bold slanting letters over a green planet in space. Turner. In a black and white film, a shield appears inscribed with the capital letters WB, Warner Brothers Pictures Incorporated. Executive producer Jack L. Warner presents Cary Grant as Mortimer Brewster and Priscilla Lane as Elaine Harper in Frank Capra's Arsenic and Old Lace. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH, Boston. Described by Samantha Manahan. Read by Rena Baskin. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. More titles with Raymond Massey, Jack Carson, Edward Everett Horton, Peter Lorre, James Gleason, Josephine Hull, Jean Adair, John Alexander, and Grant Mitchell. A Warner Brothers First National Picture. Screenplay by Julius J. and Philip G. Epstein. From the stage play by Joseph Kesselring. Produced by Howard Lindsay and Russell Krauss. Orchestral arrangements Hugo Friedhofer. Musical director Leo F. Forbstein. Copyright 1944 by Warner Brothers Pictures Incorporated. Music by Max Steiner. Directed by Frank Capra. Now, words appear over a city block. This is a Halloween tale of Brooklyn, where anything can happen, and it usually does. At 3 p.m. on this particular day, this was happening.
I'll knock your block off, you big stiff! You're a bum!
In Dodger Stadium, a rowdy fan watches a Yankee throw a pitch to a Dodger batter. The batter drops his bat and starts to walk to first. The ump throws up a fist. The batter rips off the umpire's face mask and punches him in the nose. The catcher slugs the batter, starting a brawl. The Dodger and Yankee dugouts empty onto the field in a slugfest. More words appear. While at the same time, across the river in the United States proper, there was romance in the air. Now, two reporters stand in the doorway of a marriage license bureau.
Here it is.
I knew you'd find it. Boy, I could sure use a drink.
They wear suits and fedoras.
What if any big shot's getting married today?
Couples fill out forms while others wait in line.
Looks like the same suckers get married every day. Come on.
Hey, the guy with the cheaters.
A tall, dark-haired man wearing sunglasses glimpses them and flips up the collar of his overcoat.
Now, what's he hiding from?
Trying to conceal his face, he steps behind his fiancée, a pretty blonde.
Hey, isn't that Mortimer Brewster? Mortimer Brewster, the dramatic critic?
The tall man fidgets.
No, it's not him. Well, what a scoop would it be? The guy who wrote the Bachelor's Bible finally getting hooked himself. No, it's too good to be true. Come on, let's snap the mayor in his new fire helmet and go home.
Say, let's stick around and see who the guy is.
The blonde woman steps up to the city clerk's barred window.
Good morning, children. Your name, please?
Elaine Harper.
Speak a little louder.
Elaine Harper.
Thank you. Yours?
The tall man leans close.
Mortimer Brewster.
How's that?
Mortimer Brewster.
Speak up, Sonny. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Mortimer crouches to talk underneath the window, then swings it open and glances furtively around.
I want to keep this undercover.
Love her? Why, of course you love her. You're going to marry her, ain't you?
No, you don't understand. Come in. You see, I don't want this to get out for a while. I'm Mortimer Brewster.
You're who?
Mortimer!
Mortimer grabs Elaine's hand and rushes out of the room.
Jim!
The reporters hurry after them. Mortimer pushes Elaine into an occupied phone booth, then squeezes in behind her.
Mr. Brewster!
Ducking, Mortimer hides his face, then snatches the receiver from the gaping occupant.
Come on, dear.
Mortimer hangs up, shoves the man out, then stares into Elaine's glistening eyes.
Don't you understand? How could I marry you? Me, the symbol of bachelorhood. I've sneered at every love scene in every play. I've written 4 million words against marriage. Not only hooked me to a minister's daughter, and not only a minister's daughter, but a girl from Brooklyn. And look at you. Look at the way you look. What is that infernal contraption you've got there?
Well, that's a pen I borrowed from your aunts. You know what they say, Mortimer. Something borrowed and something...
Yeah, I know that, bromide. Something borrowed, something blue. All new.
Rice and old shoes. Carry over the threshold. Niagara Falls. All the silly tribe I've made fun of for years. Is this what I've come to? I can't go through with it. I won't marry you, and that's that.
Yes, Mortimer.
What do you mean, yes, Mortimer? Aren't you insulted? Aren't you going to cry? Aren't you going to make a scene? And don't know Mortimer, me either. Look, don't you see, marriage is a superstition. It's old-fashioned. Oh.
Mortimer pulls her into a kiss.
Come on,
Grabbing her hand, he leads her back into the city clerk's office. They stand at the end of the line, and a smiling Asian bride exchanges a wink with Elaine. A short groom flashes Mortimer a toothy grin. Mortimer shoots back a smirk. Words appear. And now, back to one of Brooklyn's most charming residential districts. We see a graveyard. From here in, you're on your own. A stout police sergeant and a strapping officer stroll along the graveyard's spiked fence toward a stone house.
Oh, Harrah, don't be a jerk. You don't seem to realize I'm turning over to you the nicest, the best beat in Brooklyn. Now, look at that old church and them old houses.
Did George Washington ever do any sleeping around here?
Of course he did. Why, this whole neighborhood just stinks with atmosphere. Now, look at that old house there.
Yeah, the original owner's still living there?
Now, don't crack wise about the Brewster sisters. They're two of the dearest, sweetest, kindest old ladies that ever walked the earth. They're out of this world. They're like pressed rose leaves.
Pressed rose leaves?
He glimpses a room for rent sign.
The old girls must be kind of hard up, huh?
I know. Their old man left them fixed for life. And don't you call them the girls, either. Brophy's lieutenant around.
If they're so well-heeled, what are they renting rooms for?
They don't rent rooms. But you can bet if anybody came around looking for a room, they wouldn't go away without a good meal and probably a couple of bucks in their pocket. That's just their way of digging up people to do good to.
In the Brewster's living room, Teddy, a bespectacled man, plays a harpsichord. His Aunt Abby sits with a balding minister.
Oh, Reverend Harper, I do hope you don't disapprove of Mortimer just because he's a dramatic critic and takes your daughter to the theater every night.
Well, it's not so much that I disapprove of his being a critic, but no man with this published attitude on marriage should take any man's daughter any place, at any time.
Teddy looks over his shoulder.
I must be catching cold.
No, dear, it was Reverend Harper who sneezed. Bless you. We mustn't be angry with Mortimer. So very much in love with her, and Sister Martha and I are so happy about it. He used to come to see us only occasionally, and now he's in Brooklyn 6 nights a week.
Outside.
Remember now, watch your language.
Well, Sergeant, you know I'm not a swearing man.
You'd be surprised what they'd consider swearing.
Oh, will you excuse me? No, Teddy, dear, thank you. I'll go.
She opens the door to the policeman.
Right in, Mr. Brophy.
Miss Abby, we came for the toys.
Oh, yes.
This is Officer O'Hara. He's taking over my beat.
How do you do, Mr.
Well, welcome to our neighborhood, Mr. O'Hara.
Hi. Gentlemen, what news have you brought me?
Colonel, we have nothing to report.
Brophy salutes Teddy, then nudges O'Hara. Huh?
Oh, no. Absolutely nothing to report.
Splendid. Thank you, gentlemen. At ease.
You know the Reverend Dr. Harper from the church next door?
Sure. Hello, Reverend. This is Officer O'Hara, the new man on the beat.
How do you do, sir? It's nice to meet you.
Teddy eyes O'Hara suspiciously, and the officer looks confused.
The toys are on the chair up here by the library door.
Teddy and O'Hara exchange a keen stare.
Oh, Teddy, will you run upstairs and bring down your army and navy from Aunt Martha's room? They're all packed.
Teddy pretends to draw a sword.
That's splendid work you men do, fixing up discarded toys for the kids at camp.
Teddy bolts upstairs. The grandfather clock's minute hand drops.
I'd give you something to do while we're sitting around the station. You get tired of playing cards.
Abby resets the hands of the grandfather clock, and O'Hara picks up a box full of model toys.
Oh, so these are the toys.
How's Mrs. Brophy?
Oh, she's better, thank you, but a little weak still.
Well, I'm going to get some beef broth for you to take to her.
Oh, Miss Abby, please don't bother. You've done so much already.
Oh, stuff and nonsense. I won't be a minute.
Wearing an apron over her lace-collared dress, she trots into the kitchen.
Gentlemen, if I know what pure kindness and absolute generosity are, it's because I've known the Brewster sisters.
Teddy bursts out of his room with a bugle. O'Hara drops the toys.
Now, Teddy, you promised me you wouldn't do that anymore.
But I have to call a cabinet meeting to get the release of those supplies.
Now, don't do that again. Do you hear me?
Teddy goes to his room. O'Hara furrows his brow at Brophy.
He used to do that in the middle of the night, and the neighbors raised Cain with me. They're a little afraid of him anyway.
Look, Sergeant, I promise you I wouldn't swear, but what the heck? What's going on here anyway?
Oh, he's quite harmless.
He thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt. So what? There's a lot of worse guys he could think he was.
Yeah?
O'Hara glances upstairs.
That's right. I'll make a note of that. He's a very interesting character.
Isn't it a shame, Father? Isn't it a shame, Reverend, that a nice family like this should be hatching a cuckoo?
Martha Brewster enters.
Oh, well, now, isn't this nice?
Good afternoon, Miss Brewster.
How do you do, Mr. Brophy?
Good afternoon, Miss Brewster.
Reverend Harper, how do you do?
Miss Martha, this is Officer O'Hara. He's taken over my duties.
How do you do, ma'am?
Well, I'm very glad to know you.
Thank you.
Abby joins them.
Oh, Martha, you're back. Here's the broth for Mrs. Brophy. Be sure it's good and hot.
Teddy carries a box of toys downstairs.
The Army and Navy are ready for action.
He takes a model warship out of O'Hara's box.
Make a lot of kids happy. What's this? The Oregon?
Oh, Teddy, dear, put it back.
But the Oregon goes to Australia.
Not Teddy.
No. It goes to Australia.
These are lovely. Thank you very much.
The officers carry the toys to the door, and O'Hara salutes Teddy.
Children will be go crazy.
Oh, now,
well, so long, Colonel.
Teddy glares at Brophy.
Hey, Sarge.
Eh? Oh, yes?
Brophy exchanges a salute with Teddy.
Dismiss.
Well, goodbye, and thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Careful of the step there now with the toys.
Good night.
O'Hara pokes his head back inside and winks. Teddy's eyes widen.
Young man, let that be a lesson to you.
O'Hara wrinkles his face in puzzlement, then leaves.
Goodbye.
Abby closes the door behind him. Teddy draws his pretend sword and races upstairs.
Well, I must be going.
Charge! Charge the blockhouse!
The Reverend turns to the Brewster sisters.
Blockhouse?
Oh, the stairs are always San Juan Hill.
Oh, I see.
Bless you.
Have you ever tried to persuade him that he wasn't Teddy Roosevelt?
Oh, no. Oh, he's so happy being Teddy Roosevelt. Oh, do you remember, Martha? Once a long time ago, we thought if he'd be George Washington, it might be a change for him, and we suggested it.
And do you know what happened? He just stayed under his bed for days and wouldn't be anybody.
Well, if he's happy, and what's more important, you're happy.
Oh, our only worry for Teddy is after we're gone.
Yes, indeed. That is quite a problem.
But Mortimer's made all the arrangements for Teddy to go to Happydale Sanitarium after we pass on.
Splendid idea. A very pleasant place.
Yes.
The Reverend strolls to the parsonage next door.
Dear sweet Reverend Harper.
The sisters head inside.
You know, Martha, I really do believe he's beginning to see the light.
Oh, sure, we needn't worry about him. He won't interfere with our plans for Mortimer and Renee, dear.
Oh, did you just have tea?
Yes.
And dinner's going to be late, too.
So, why?
Teddy! Oh, Teddy, good news for you. You're going to Panama and dig another lock for the canal.
Delighted. That's bully, just bully. I shall prepare at once for the journey.
He trots downstairs, then races back up.
Charge!
Martha grins excitedly at her plump sister.
While I was out.
Yes, dear. I just couldn't wait for you. I didn't know when you'd be back, and Reverend Harper was coming.
Oh, but all by yourself.
Oh, I got along fine.
I run right downstairs and see.
No, no, dear. There wasn't time. And I was all alone.
Martha glances around the living room.
Well, Martha, just look in the window seat.
Beaming a smile, Martha mouths her sister's name. They scurry excitedly over to the window seat, a cushioned bench below a tall, lace-curtained window.
Oh, it's a game!
You darling!
She kisses them, winks, then hurries off.
What did she mean?
What did she mean? You don't suppose they've gone and...
Elaine!
She stops. A cab driver hands Mortimer her jacket.
Listen, buddy. Look, this old cab has seen osculation, but...
You ain't seen anything yet. You're going to drive us to the station.
You better take her hat.
Oh, thanks.
Wait a minute. And her brooch.
Oh, you find the hairpins, you can keep them. Hold on to that, will you?
Yeah.
Mortimer tosses him the jacket, then joins Elaine in the cemetery. His aunt's spy.
There they are.
Here's your hat.
Just throw it. I don't like that look in your eyes.
Why, what's the matter with it?
Hmm? Father preached a sermon about it only last Sunday.
He did? What did he say?
He was against it.
Oh, but that was only Sunday.
He chases her around a tree.
Please! For heaven's sake.
But Mortimer, right out here in the open with everyone looking?
Hey, right out here in the open with everyone looking? Let everyone in Brooklyn over 16 look.
Martha and Abby peek through the lace curtain as the lovers disappear behind the giant tree.
But Mortimer, you're going to love me for my mind, too.
One thing at a time.
Oh, there's that look again.
There's that look again, Mortimer.
You better get used to that look. You're going to see it often. It goes just before this.
He kisses her.
Oh. You know what we're doing, darling. We're wasting time. Look, I'll go and tell my aunt, and you tell your old... No, you better not tell your father just yet. You'll run that cold of his into a pneumonia.
Oh, I can handle father. He's a dear.
Look, why don't we wire him from Niagara Falls?
Niagara Falls? Mm-hmm. So that's why you stopped at your office.
Yes!
Certainly, we're going to go the whole hog. Niagara Falls. Everybody ought to go to Niagara Falls. You should have seen my secretary's face when I made the reservation. We've got a drawing room on the train, the brightest suite in the hotel. Tomorrow morning, we go over the falls in a barrel.
Oh, Mortimer.
She gives him a peck.
Go on, darling. Hurry and pack.
I don't have to. I started packing the day after I met you.
You see? Huh? That's what I mean. That's what I hate about women.
He pulls her into a strong kiss. The cab driver strokes his chin.
I wonder what Mary's doing now.
Mortimer peels his lips from Elaine's.
Go on, darling. The train leaves in an hour. And hurry.
There'll be a few minutes before I'm ready. Father may want to pray over me a little.
All right. Well, whistle when you're ready. Oh, Elaine.
Yeah?
When you whistle, open the front door fast. If you see a tall, dark streak of light going, it's me.
He dashes back to his aunt's. Elaine runs next door and turns back to him.
No, not now.
In the Brewsters.
Look surprised when he tells us.
And Martha! Now hold on to your bustles. We're married. Elaine and I are married.
Wonderful. Oh, Mother, isn't it wonderful? They're married.
Yes, don't pretend to be so surprised, either, you two old frauds.
He hugs them both.
Can I use the telephone, darling?
Yes, of course. Oh, isn't it too wonderful?
Just
think that it happened right here in this room.
Oh, now, here now. Hello, Benson's Forest. This is Mortimer Brewster. Did you send those roses to Mrs. Brewster at the parsonage? You did? Good. I sent 4 dozen more to Drawing Room A, Canadian Limited, Grand Central Station. Yes, and hurry them. Oh, and throw in a flock of orange blossoms.
Oh, but before you go, we can have our celebration. I'll open a bottle of wine, and we'll sing. And we'll invite a few of the neighbors in.
And, of course, a wedding cake.
Oh, Donnie, you won't have time to bake a cake. We're going to Niagara Falls. I've got a taxi waiting.
Oh, but it's all ready. It's been ready since...
Yes, I bet it's been ready since the day I first met Elaine. What is this? Did everybody in Brooklyn know I was going to get married except me?
Oh, we knew you'd find out about it in time.
Come here. I've got the 2 nicest aunts in the world. Of course, you've got the nicest nephew in the world, too.
Martha heads into the kitchen.
Well, I'll run along and get everything ready.
Oh, dear. I do hope the Reverend isn't too angry. You know how your books upset him.
Well, I'm going to burn all my books. I'm going to let the Reverend Harper light the first match. Oh, by the way, did I leave some notes here for my new book?
You mean Mind Over Matrimony?
Yeah, sure.
Where are they?
But I hid them someplace.
Come on, let's Let's find them before Elaine sees them.
Teddy, wearing a khaki uniform and a safari hat, carries a shovel downstairs.
Hello, Mortimer.
They shake hands.
How are you, Mr. President?
Bully. Thank you, just bully. What news have you brought me?
Just this, Mr. President. The country is squarely behind you.
Yes, I know. Isn't it wonderful? Well, goodbye. I'm off to Panama.
Goodbye, Mr. President.
A new lock for the canal, you know.
Teddy heads down into the cellar while Abby rummages through a drawer.
Oh, dear.
Did you find those notes? What's the matter?
Here's a baby picture of your brother, Jonathan. Mm-hmm.
A jug-eared boy with spiky hair.
You ought to put that in the fire with my books. My, what a face. I remember now, he used to scare grown-ups with it.
Just the thought of Jonathan frightens me. Do you remember how he used to cut worms in two with his teeth?
Well, Jonathan? Oh, he's probably in prison or hanged or something by now. I saw a play last week, had a character in it, reminded me of Jonathan.
No, really?
Yeah. Oh, honey of a lunatic. One of those whodunits called Murder Will Out.
Oh, here.
Yeah, what a play.
Abby heads into the kitchen.
When the curtain goes up, the first thing you see is a dead body.
He lifts up the window seat.
The next thing...
He freezes, then dashes back to the window seat and looks inside. Gaping, he slams it shut and sits on it. Slowly, he crouches next to the window seat, cocks an eyebrow, and peeks inside.
Hey, mister.
Mortimer looks away, his dark eyes frozen in an open-mouthed stare. Mortimer rounds his lips to whistle back, then shakes his head. With bulging eyes, he glances from the kitchen door to the window seat and shrinks back. His aunts come back wearing lace-trimmed aprons. Mortimer forces a weak smile. Martha and Abby share a toothy grin, then shower him with rice.
Happy bridegroom!
Congratulations, darling!
Never mind that now, Aunt Abby. Now listen, darlings. Aunt Abby, Aunt Martha, you know how we've always planned to send Teddy to that sanitarium, Happydale?
Oh, yes, dear. That's after we're gone.
Yes, dear,
yes, we talked with Reverend Harper about it.
No. Teddy's got to go to Happydale now, at once. Now, he's down in the cellar. Get him up here right away.
When there's no such hurry as that.
No. When Teddy's working on the canal, you can't get his mind on anything else.
Well, look, darlings. Look, I'm frightfully sorry, but I've got an awful shock for you. Teddy's killed a man, darlings.
Nonsense.
But there's a body in the window seat.
Yes, dear. We know.
His eyes widen.
You know?
Of course. Yes, but it has nothing to do with Teddy.
But the thing...
Now, Mortimer, you just forget about it. Forget you ever saw the gentleman.
Forget?
We never dreamed you'd peek.
What the...
They set the table.
Who is he?
He's Mr. Hoskins. Adam Hoskins. That's really all I know about him, except that he's a Methodist.
Oh, he's a Methodist. Oh, isn't that nice?
That's all you know. Well, what's he doing here? What happened to him?
He died.
Yeah. Look, Aunt Martha, men just don't get into window seats and die.
Oh, no, dear. He died first.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Stop all this. Now, look, darling, how did he die?
Oh, Mortimer, don't be so inquisitive. The gentleman died because he drank some wine with poison in it.
Mortimer gapes.
Well, how did the poison get in the wine?
Well, we put it in wine because it's less noticeable. When it's in tea, it has a distinct odor.
You mean you put it in the wine?
Yes, and I put Mr. Hoskins in the window seat because Reverend Harper was coming.
Oh.
He swallows hard.
Oh, look at me, darling. You mean you knew what you'd done and you didn't want the Reverend Harper to see the body?
Well, not at tea. That wouldn't have been very nice.
Oh, it's first degree.
Now, Mortimer, you know all about it and just forget about it. Mm-hmm. I do think that Martha and I have the right to our own little secrets.
Annie. While I was out, I dropped in on Mrs. Schultz. She's much better, but she would like us to take Junior to the movies again.
Well, we must do that tomorrow or next day.
Yes, but this time we'll go where we want to go. Junior's not going to drag me into another one of those scary pictures.
No, they ought not to be allowed to make such pictures just to frighten people.
Mortimer watches them wander back into the kitchen, then stares into space with dazed eyes. Shaking his head, he snaps to and walks tensely over to the phone.
Operator, can you hear my voice? You can? You sure?
He hangs up.
Then I must be here.
Next door, Elaine looks out her window. Mortimer hops over a chair, hurries to the window, and waves her off. He frantically points to the window seat, then frowns and dashes into the kitchen. His aunts pass jack-o'-lanterns and homemade pies out the window to a group of children in Halloween masks. Mortimer fidgets at a loss for words.
Yes, it is. They have so much fun.
Martha frosts a cake.
Now, Mortimer, don't be so impatient. We'll let you lick the bowl after a while.
Lick the bowl? Dear. I don't want to lick the bowl. I want to know what we're going to do.
Well, we're going to celebrate, dear.
Celebrate? But look, Aunt Martha, there's a body in the window seat.
Yes, dear, Mr. Hoskins.
Oh, I know what his name is. I just want to know what we're going to do. Can I turn you over to the police?
Well, for pity's sake, stop worrying about it. We told you to forget about the whole thing.
Forget? Look, my dear Aunt Martha, can't I make you realize that something has to be done?
Now, Mortimer, you behave. You're too old to be flying off the handle like this.
But Mr. Hotchkiss!
Hoskins, dear.
Well, whatever his name is, he's dead, and you can't leave him in there.
Well, we don't intend to, dear.
No, Teddy's down in the cellar now, digging the lock.
Mortimer's mouth drops open. He sinks against the wall.
You mean you're going to bury Mr. Hotchkiss in the cellar?
Oh, yes, dear. That's what we did with the others.
Look here, Aunt Martha, you can't...
His eyes pop.
Others?
The other gentlemen.
Oh. When you say others, do you mean others? More than one others?
Oh, yes, dear. Let me see now. This is 11, isn't it, Abby?
Oh, no, dear. This makes 12.
Oh, Abby, dear, I think you're wrong. This one is only 11.
No, dear, because I remember when Mr. Hoskins first came in, it occurred to me that he'd make just an even dozen.
Mortimer sits down.
But Abby, dear, I really don't think you should count the first one.
Oh, I was counting the first one, and that makes it 12.
It does? Mm-hmm. Well, she's probably right. Abby usually is. I get them mixed up sometimes.
Makes it 12.
He shrugs.
Hello?
He puts his hand to his ear, then runs to the phone.
Whatever is the matter with Mortimer today?
Why, Abby, what do you think happened to him?
Hello?
He stares at the receiver.
Oh. Not now. Not now. For heaven's sake, keep your shirt on. Oh, Elaine, I didn't mean...
He hangs up again and wrings his hands.
Oh, no, let's see. Where were we? 12?
Yes, oh, dear. Elaine. Abby thinks that we should count the first one.
Never mind about that. No, just sit down. Now, tell me, who was the first one?
Mr. Midgley. He was a Baptist.
He was such a lonely old gentleman, Mr. Midgley was. All his kith and kin were dead. We felt so sorry for him.
And then, when his heart attack came, and he sat there, dead, in that chair, looking so peaceful. Remember, Martha? We made up our minds then and there that if we could help other lonely old men to find that same peace, we would.
Oh, you poor... You mean he dropped dead right in this chair?
Mm-hmm. Mortimer springs to his feet.
And then, you see, Teddy came up from digging in Panama, and he thought Mr. Midgley was a yellow fever victim. Oh. And that meant that he had to be buried immediately.
Sure. So?
So, we all took him down to Panama and put him in the lock and gave him a decent Christian burial. Oh. There. Now, you see, that's why we told you not to bother about it, because we know exactly what's to be done.
Mortimer nods as they head for the kitchen.
Wait a minute. Come here, Tommy. What about the others? All 12 of them just didn't walk in here and drop dead?
Oh, no, dear, of course not.
Well, so.
Abby whispers in her sister's ear. Martha smiles at Mortimer, then tells Abby a secret. Grinning, they nod.
Mortimer.
Well.
Do you remember those jars of poison that have been on the shelves in Grandfather's laboratory all these years?
You know your Aunt Martha's knack for mixing things. You've eaten enough of her piccalilli.
Well, dear, for a gallon of elderberry wine, I take one teaspoonful of arsenic, then add half a teaspoonful of strychnine, and then just a pinch of cyanide.
Should have quite a kick.
Yes. As a matter of fact, one of our gentlemen found time to say how delicious.
Oh, wasn't that nice of him?
Abby, we mustn't be standing here gossiping all night. Why, we must get that cake frosted, of course.
Oh, no, darling, don't worry about the cake. I couldn't eat a thing.
Oh, you newlyweds. A sip of wine will give you an appetite.
Yeah, that'll be nice, darling. A sip of wine.
He slips over a chair. Next door, Elaine pins a corsage to the lapel of her trim black suit. Outside, the waiting cab driver paces next to his taxi. At the Brewsters, Mortimer draws the curtains over the window seat, then cracks open the cellar door. A striped cat pads out.
The cat's in on it.
He peers downstairs and shakes his head.
Oh, it's wonderful. Happy as a lark, singing away, digging a locksmith.
Look at that. Yellow fever, Vic. That's all I see in it. Oh, I can see the headlines now. Murder Incorporated rides again right across the front page. Oh.
He fingers his dark hair.
Let me see. Teddy, of course. Everybody knows he's crazy. Let me see. I'm going to call up. Dewey, LaGuardia, Winchell. Oh, it's just not good. Oh, Judge Coleman. What if I got his number?
He takes papers out of his pocket.
What am I doing with tickets? Information. Hello. Information? Get me the number of Judge Coleman on North Shore Road, Brooklyn. Yeah. Will you call me back?
Elaine strides briskly to the Brewsters.
Oh, wouldn't it be marvelous if he wasn't there?
Mortimer peeks into the window seat.
Hey, you!
He sits on the seat.
Thought you were... Psst, tall, dark streak of light.
What are you doing here?
What am I doing here? Didn't you hear me whistle?
Whistle? Oh, yes, I heard your whistle.
She kisses him.
Hey, how do I look?
Oh, you look fine. Now, run on home, I'll call you up tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, I always call you up every day or two.
Oh, you and your gags. Hey, where's your hat? Come on, the bag's in the taxi.
Hat, bags, taxi, what?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, Elaine, I'm so sorry, but something happened.
What'd you do, lose your nerve? Hey, where's that look I was going to see so often?
Look, Stop. Don't whistle in my ear, please.
Mortimer,
I'm nervous.
What is wrong? Look at your hair.
Oh, my goodness. What color is it? Quick, is it turn?
Oh, darling, what's the matter? What happened?
Oh,
those
Elaine.
Those flowers are so beautiful.
Oh, if I could only tell you where they are. Oh, you smell so nice now. Oh, you better go home.
But, darling, we were married today.
Well, all right, go home. Go to bed. Get some rest.
Rest?
He pushes her out the door.
Hello? Who? Oh, Judge Coleman? Oh, this is Mortimer Brewster.
Elaine sneaks inside.
I'll tell you why I called you. It's about Teddy. I've got to come over and see you right away. Well, I'm afraid he won't wait until tomorrow, Judge. Yes, you see, it's very, very important. We've got to do something about Teddy immediately. Well, it's practically a matter of life and... Elaine!
She stands by the window seat.
Well, you get out of here.
Mortimer, what in the world is going on around here? I want to know where I stand.
Oh, anywhere, but don't stand there.
But, darling, Niagara Falls!
It does, well, let it.
Now, wait a minute. Listen. You can't marry me one minute and throw me out of the house the next.
Oh, darling, I'm not throwing you out of the house. I'm not throwing you out of the house. Will you get out of here?
He carries her out the front door and locks her outside with an old man.
Mortimer!
Oh, I'm sorry, Judge, but a thing happened. Look, Judge, about Teddy. You see,
Mortimer!
You see, Judge, it's bugle blowing. Yes, the neighbors have been complaining and the police are all set to throw him into a state institution.
How do you like that?
I read an ad here about a room for rent.
Oh, shut up!
She stalks away from the old man. The cab driver opens the door for her, and she breezes past.
Well, I thought if you could sign the papers and I can get Teddy to commit himself, we can get him into Happydale. Yes, it's a wonderful place, Judge. You will? Fine, I'll be right over to see you as soon as I made another call.
The old man waits at the door.
Doorbell's ringing, dear.
Abby bustles out of the kitchen and opens the front door.
Oh, how do you do? Come in.
I understand you've got a room to rent.
Yes, do step in.
Why, are you the lady of the house?
Yes, I'm Miss Brewster.
Hello, operator. Give me long distance, please.
And this is my sister, another Miss Brewster.
My name's Gibbs.
Well, do sit down. I'm sorry, we're just setting the table for dinner. This would be a nice, comfortable chair.
Oh, hello, long distance. How about the Happydale Sanitarium, Happydale, New York?
Is Brooklyn your home?
I haven't got a home. Live in a hotel. Don't like it.
Are your family Brooklyn people?
Hello,
haven't got any family.
What, operator?
All alone in the world.
Yep.
No.
Well, Martha.
No, happy.
Martha gets a wine decanter.
Well, you've come to just the right house. Do sit down.
Dale. D, like in dig. You know when you dig a lock? That's right. And yeah, A, like in arsenic. Got that?
Is there always this much noise?
Oh, he doesn't live with us.
See the headlines, huh? Oh, please.
Hello.
I'd really like to see the room. I don't think I'll like it.
The room's upstairs. Won't you try a glass of our wine before we start up?
Never touch it.
We make this ourselves. It's elderberry wine.
Elderberry?
Mr. Gibbs sits down and smiles.
I haven't tasted elderberry wine since I was a boy.
Ah!
Thank you.
Operator! Look, I don't want the Happydale Laundry. I want the Happydale Sanitarium.
Abby pours a glass of wine.
Sanitarium. Yes, like a broken record.
Have your own elderberry bushes?
No, but the cemetery's full of them.
Oh. Well, school.
Hello, operator! Look, operator, what's taking you so long? It's only across the river. I can swim it faster.
Martha and Abby eagerly watch Mr. Gibbs bring the glass to his lips. They frown as he lowers it to glare at Mortimer.
Busy? Look, they're busy and you're dizzy. No, I'm not drunk, madam, but you give me an idea.
Mortimer joins them and starts to pour himself some wine.
Mortimer!
Dolly, don't... I'm nervous now. Don't do that.
Mortimer, not that.
He spots Gibbs about to drink.
No!
Mr. Gibbs jumps back, spilling his wine. Mortimer points a finger at him and chases him to the door.
Get out of here. Do you want to be poisoned? Do you want to be murdered? Do you want to be killed? Do you?
Mortimer falls over a chair. Mr. Gibbs runs outside past the cab driver.
They're nuts! You're telling me!
Inside, Abby and Martha sulk on the window seat. Slung over the fallen chair, Mortimer's legs dangle in the air.
Look, you can't do things like that.
He stands up and rights the chair. His tie hangs outside his buttoned, double-breasted suit.
Now, I don't know how I can explain this to you. But it's not only against the law, it's wrong. It's not a nice thing to do. People wouldn't understand. He wouldn't understand.
Martha frowns and Abby looks away.
What I mean is, well, this is developing into a very bad habit.
Mortimer raises a hand, urging them to stay put, then hurries to the phone.
Hello, who? Oh, Happydale Sanitarium? Oh, that's amazing, operator. Yes. Happydale? Let me talk to Mr. Witherspoon, please.
Mr. Witherspoon speaking. Oh, how do you do, Mr. Brewster? How are you?
Well, Mr. Witherspoon, do you I'm fine, thanks. How are you? Mr. Witherspoon, do you remember that conversation we had about committing my brother Teddy to Happydale? You do? Well, we want to commit him there immediately.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, that's too bad. Well, I'd hope we wouldn't have him for some time yet. Well, you see, Mr. Brewster, we have several Theodore Roosevelts at the moment, and it would lead to trouble. Oh, trouble. Oh. Now, if he thought that... Well, Mr. Brewster, we're a bit short of Napoleons at present. Bonaparte. And if... Oh. Oh, I see, of course. Well, if your mind is made up, yes. Yes. Have you had the papers drawn up?
No, but I'm going to attend to that right now. I'll call you back as soon as I have them. Thank you, Mr. All right. Thank you, Mr. Witherspoon.
Another Roosevelt. Oh, dear, dear.
Now, listen, darlings. I've got to run over to Judge Coleman's. But before I go, I want you to promise me something.
Well, we'd have to know what it was first.
Well, I love you both very much. And you know I'd do anything in the world for you, don't you?
Yes, dear.
All right. Then I want you to do one little thing for me, like good girls.
What do you want us to do?
Don't do anything. I mean, don't do anything. Don't let anyone in the house and leave Mr. Hoosett right where he is. Oh, get off that thing. I can't talk to you like... can't concentrate. Oh, now look, darlings, I wouldn't want anything in the world to happen to either of you.
Well, what on earth could happen to us?
Well, darling... Anyway, you'll do that little thing for me, won't you? All right. Now, where's my hat? Oh, there it is.
But, Mortimer...
What, darling, what?
We were planning to hold services before dinner.
Well, look, sweet, couldn't that wait until I get back?
Oh, then you could join us in the hymn.
Yes, darling, I could join you in the hymn. I'll sing with you, I'll dance with you, I'll do anything, but... Now, remember, don't let anybody in the house until I get back. You promise? Good.
He puts on an oversized fedora.
What? Stop. What is it?
Mr. Hoskins's hat.
Oh!
He pops it off his head and runs outside, past the cab driver.
You still want me to wait for you?
Yes, call me a cab!
Yeah, okay. Hey, cab!
The driver waves a taxi over.
Don't open that, I'll sit with you!
Yeah, that's right, I can go faster that way.
He watches the cab take off.
Wait a minute, what am I doing? Hey!
The driver points to his taxi and waves after the other.
Come here!
Getting nice, Mr. Hoskins, his hat all mussed up. Shit, such a nice man.
You know, Abby, Mortimer didn't seem to be quite himself today.
No.
Oh, well.
Martha brushes off Mr. Hoskins's fedora, then puts it in a cabinet with 11 other hats.
What were you saying about Mortimer? Oh, I think I understand why he seems so upset.
Why? He's just been married.
Oh.
I believe that always makes a man a little nervous.
Oh, yes, poor dear.
Martha turns off a light.
Well, I'm still happy for Elaine. Oh, Abby, if Mortimer's coming back for the services for Mr. Hoskins, we'll need another hymnal. There's one up in my room.
Two shadows appear at the door.
Oh, I'll go, dear.
Abby, we promised Mortimer we wouldn't let anyone come in.
Martha peeks out a window, then gapes.
Abby, it's two men, and I've never seen them before.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Let me look.
Yes.
Abby peers through the stairway drapes.
Do you recognize them?
No, they're strangers to me. Well, we just have to pretend we're not at home.
They fold their hands and stand motionlessly on the downstairs landing. The door swings open, blocking them from view. A tall, thin man in a black suit and fedora steps inside and scans the dim living room. Shadows darken his thick, jagged features. Deep scars groove his cheeks and forehead. Beneath his jutting brow, his sunken, coal-black eyes flicker. In the doorway, his short, bug-eyed companion waits sheepishly.
Come in, Doctor.
The short man steps inside, then closes the door.
This is the home of my youth. As a boy, I couldn't wait to escape from this house. Now I'm glad to escape back into it.
Yes, Johnny, it's a good hideout.
The doctor swigs from a flask.
The family must still live here.
Martha and Abby look nervously on.
I hope there's a fatted calf awaiting the return of the prodigal.
Fatted calf? Oh, Johnny, I'm so hungry. Look, Johnny. Drink.
As if we were expected.
Yes.
A good omen.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
And Abby. And Martha. It's Jonathan.
You get out of here.
I'm Jonathan, you know. Your nephew, Jonathan.
Oh, no, you're not. You're nothing like Jonathan, so don't pretend you are. You just get out of here.
I see you're still wearing the lovely garnet ring that Grandma Brewster bought in England. And you, Aunt Martha, still the high collar to hide the scar where Grandfather's acid burned you.
Why, his voice is like Jonathan's. Have you been in an accident?
My face. Dr. Einstein is responsible for that. He's a plastic surgeon.
But I've seen that face before. Do you remember when we took the little Schultz boy to the movies? And I was so frightened. It was that face.
Johnny glares at the doctor.
Take it easy, Johnny. Take it easy. Don't worry. The last 5 years I give him 3 different faces. I give him another one right away. That last face, I saw that picture too, just before I operated, and I was intoxicated.
See, Doctor, what you've done to me. Even my own family think I...
Johnny, you are home in this lovely house. You know how many times he tells me about Brooklyn, about this house, and about his aunts he loves so much. They know you, Johnny. Please tell him so.
Well, Jonathan, it's been a long time.
Bless you. It's good to be home again.
Johnny and the doctor sit at the elegantly set table.
Well, Martha, we mustn't let what's on the stove boil over.
She takes 2 wine glasses from the table.
If you'll excuse us for a moment, Jonathan, unless you're in a hurry to go somewhere.
The doctor dolefully watches Abby take the 2 full wine glasses into the kitchen. Martha caps the wine decanter as the doctor reaches for it. She returns it to a shelf, then joins her sister, closing the kitchen door behind her. The doctor takes out his flask.
Well, Johnny, where do we go from here?
Johnny fingers a pocket ring puzzle.
You know, Johnny, we got to think fast. The police, they got pictures of that face. I got to operate on you right away. We got to find some place. We got to find some place for Mr. Spinazzo, too.
Don't waste any worry on that rat.
But we got a hot stiff on our hands.
Forget Mr. Spinazzo.
But, Johnny, we can't leave a dead body in the rumble seat. You shouldn't have killed him. Just because he knows something about us, what happens?
We come to him for help and he tries to shake us down.
He aims a flinty stare at the doctor.
Besides, he said I looked like Boris Karloff.
The doctor gulps.
That's your work, doctor. You did that to me.
Now, please, Johnny, take it easy. We'll find someplace and I'll fix you up right away.
Tonight?
Yes, tonight. But I have to eat first.
This time I want the face of an absolute nonentity.
Yes, Johnny, I know exactly what I'm going to do. You see, I'm going to take this piece here and lift it up.
Be careful about the stitches this time.
You lift that up to me, and I give you nice little ears this time.
You were careless last time, you understand? You were careless.
And on the eyes, I'll do a Schmidt. That's my specialty. You see, I take it.
Now, in a study, Mortimer meets with a tuxedo-clad man.
Poor Teddy. I imagine it's for the best. Well, ours not to reason why. Ours but to do.
Yes, well, phone right here, please, Judge. Excuse me. Right there.
Sometimes I think, with the world in its present chaotic state.
Yes, I know. We'd all be better off in Happydale. I sign here as next of kin, don't I?
Only last week, I created a mild sensation at the Bar Association. When I said.
Yes, goodbye and good luck, Judge. Thank you.
Tell Martha and Abby I'll be over this week. Been feeling rather lonely.
No. Oh, no. Never tell them you've been lonely. Never.
Why, I don't...
Judge. Tell me, are you a drinking man?
Why, no. I never indulge.
Good. Well, then you'll live longer.
Of course, a little wine now.
No, for heaven's sakes, no wine!
Mortimer dashes out.
I may be committing the wrong Brewster.
At the Brewster's.
Well, I'm sure you both want to get to wherever you're going.
My dear, sweet aunties, I'm so full of your delicious dinner, I'm unable to move a muscle.
Yes, it's nice here.
I found it!
Teddy rushes downstairs.
Gentlemen, be seated.
Already sitting, Johnny and the doctor look around.
Here it is, gentlemen, the story of my life, my biography. Here's the picture I was telling you about, General. Here we are, both of us. President Roosevelt and General Goethals at Culebra Cut. That's me, General, and that's you.
The doctor studies Teddy's book.
My heart changed.
Well, you see, that picture hasn't been taken yet. We haven't even started work on Culebra Cut. We're still digging locks. And now, General, we will both go to Panama and inspect the new lock.
No, Teddy, not to Panama.
Oh, maybe some other time, Mr. President. Panama is a long ways off.
Nonsense. It's just down in the cellar.
The cellar?
Well, we let him dig the Panama Canal in the cellar.
General Goethals?
Yes, sir?
As President of the United States, Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, and the man who gave you this job, I demand that you accompany me on the inspection of the new lock.
Teddy, I think it's time for you to go to bed.
I beg your pardon. Who are you?
I'm Woodrow Wilson. Go to bed.
Teddy shakes his head.
No, you're not Wilson, but your face is familiar. Let me see. You're not anyone I know now. Perhaps later, on my hunting trip to Africa. Yes, you look like someone I might meet in the jungle.
Johnny glowers.
I think perhaps you had better go to bed, Teddy. He and his friend want to get back to their hotel.
General Goethals, inspect the canal.
All right, Mr. President. We go to Panama.
Bully! Follow me, General.
Teddy motions for the doctor to put on a safari hat.
It's down south, you know.
Oh.
The doctor puts it on.
Well, bon voyage.
He follows Teddy downstairs.
Aunt Abby, I must correct your misapprehension. You talked of our hotel. We have no hotel. We came here directly.
This is not your home, and I'm afraid you can't stay here.
Martha and Abby shrink back as he towers over them.
Dr. Einstein and I need a place to sleep. You remember that as a boy, I could be disagreeable. It would not be pleasant for any of us if... But I don't have to go into details, do I?
Perhaps we'd better let them stay here tonight.
Hey, Johnny. Johnny, come here quick.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Dr. Einstein and I are turning Grandfather's laboratory into an operating room. We expect to be very busy.
Johnny joins Einstein on the cellar stairs.
Hey, Johnny. Down here, what do you think I find?
What?
The Panama Canal. And it just fits Mr. Spinazzo. See the hole he's digging? 4 feet wide, 6 feet long. Just fits. You'd think he knew we were bringing Mr. Spinazzo along. That's hospitality, huh?
Rather a good joke on my aunts. They're living in a house with a body buried in the cellar.
Hey, how do we get him in here?
Yes, we can't just walk Mr. Spinazzo in through the door. We'll bring the car up between the cemetery and the house, and after they've gone to bed, we'll bring Mr. Spinazzo in through the window.
Bed? Johnny.
Back upstairs.
We're moving the car behind the house. You'd better get to bed.
The car's all right where it is until morning.
I don't want to leave it in the street. That might be against the law.
Johnny and Einstein step outside. Martha frowns at her sister.
Abby, what are we going to do?
Well, we're not going to let them spend more than one night in this house, for one thing. What would the neighbors think? People coming in here with one face and going out with another.
Martha eyes the window seat.
And what are we going to do about Mr. Hoskins?
Oh, Mr. Hoskins. It can't be very comfortable for him in there. And he's been so patient, the poor dear.
Well, I think Teddy had better take Mr. Hoskins downstairs right away.
General Goethals was very pleased. He said the canal was just the right size.
Teddy, there's been another yellow fever victim.
Dear me, this will be a shock to the general.
No, Teddy, we must keep it a secret.
Yes.
A state secret?
Yes, a state secret.
Promise?
You have the word of the President of the United States. Cross my heart and hope to die. Now, let's see. How are we going to keep it a secret?
Well, Teddy, I think you'd better get back down into the cellar. And then, when I turn out the lights, when everything's dark here, you come up and take the poor man down to the canal. Now get along, Teddy.
And we'll come down later and hold services.
Where is the poor devil?
In the window seat.
Seems to be spreading. We've never had yellow fever there before.
He heads downstairs.
Abby, I've never even seen Mr. Hoskins.
Oh, my goodness. That's right, you were armed.
Well, you just come right along and see him now.
You know, he's really very nice looking, considering that he's a Methodist.
Johnny bursts through the window. He glares at them with dark, fierce eyes. Slowly, he climbs inside and stands on the window seat, towering over his aunts.
We're bringing the luggage through here.
He steps down, and Einstein passes their suitcases through the window.
Jonathan, your room is waiting for you. You can go right up.
I'm afraid we don't keep Brooklyn hours. You two run along to bed.
Oh, but you must be very tired, both of you. And we don't go to bed this early.
It's time I came home to take care of you. Take the bags upstairs.
For the instruments, come back later.
Good night.
Now, we'll all go to bed.
I'll wait until you're up and then turn out the lights.
Run along, Aunt Martha.
Abby waits while the others head upstairs.
Just off the laboratory, Doctor.
At the top of the stairs, Einstein turns left down the open hallway and Martha enters a room. Johnny stares down at Abby.
All right, Aunt Abby.
I'll be right up.
Now, Aunt Abby, turn out the lights.
Abby flips a switch, plunging the living room into darkness. Moonlight beams onto the landing where Johnny waits motionlessly for Abby to climb the stairs. At the top, she inches past his rigid gaze. Martha cracks open the door to her room and Abby hurriedly slips inside. Johnny's harsh features glint in the moonlight as he starts up another staircase to the third floor, then pauses to check over his shoulder. Abby peeks outside.
And Abby.
She quickly closes the door and Johnny climbs the stairs to the third floor. Our view descends into the pitch-black living room as Teddy swings open the cellar door and scans the darkness. Clad in his safari khakis, he softly disappears into the dark room. Slivers of light beam through the cracks around the kitchen door. We see his shadowed profile pass the kitchen as he steps over to the window seat. In a square of light on the drawn curtains, we see Teddy bend over. He stands back up. Teddy carries Mr. Hoskins' stiff body over his shoulder, their forms blocking the slender strips of light around the kitchen door. With slow, weighted steps, he crosses into an unlit corner of the room. Teddy stops by the cellar. In silhouette, the corpse's rigid legs poke into the doorway. Hunched beneath the body's weight, Teddy shuffles toward the stairs and turns around. The corpse's hands and legs dangle stiffly. As Teddy carefully backs down the stairs, Mr. Hoskins' feet get stuck. Teddy lifts them free, brings him all the way into the stairwell, and swings the cellar door closed. Blackness engulfs our view, except for a crack of light under the door. On the third floor staircase, Einstein finds his way in the dark with a match. The flickering light glows on his small, sharp features. Johnny follows him.
He's all right, Johnny.
They turn down the main staircase. Furrowing his brow, Einstein peers around the pitch-black living room. Johnny looms behind him.
I'll open the window. You go around and hand him through.
But he's too heavy for me.
He blows out the match.
You go outside, Johnny, and push, and I stay here and pull. And then together, we take him down to Panama, huh?
All right. We must be quick. I'll take a look around outside the house. When I tap on the glass, you open the window.
Yeah.
Johnny opens the door, looks cautiously around, then heads outside. Einstein steps over to the window seat.
It's dark in here. Very dark.
Lying in the window seat, he strikes a match.
Where am I? Oh, here I am.
He stands up and blows it out.
Don't let this open.
Johnny?
He opens the window.
Okay, Johnny. Wait a minute. Hand him over. What? Now I have him. Allie, up! Wait a minute, Johnny. You lost a leg somewhere. Help me, he's so heavy. Oh, now I have him. Now I got him.
Be careful.
Oh, but his shoe came off. Help me, Johnny, he's so heavy. Now I've got him.
Hey, Johnny, somebody's at the door. Go open quick. I'll manage the night, so go quick.
Einstein hides in the shadows. In silhouette, we see a shapely, long-haired woman open the front door.
Mortimer!
Elaine creeps inside.
Aunt Abby!
Frozen, Einstein watches her.
Aunt Martha!
He swallows hard. Johnny scoots in the front door, locks it, and stands in the dark.
Who is it? Is that you, Teddy?
Who are you?
I'm Elaine Harper. I live next door.
What are you doing here?
I came here to see my husband, Mortimer.
Why did you say your name was Harper?
Well, it is Harper. I mean, it's Brewster. I'm not very used to it. I'm a brand new Brewster.
Doctor!
Einstein turns on the lights.
It's all right, Johnny. It's okay.
Holding his flask, Einstein points across the room and winks. Johnny searches behind a chair and out a window, his face drawn in a tense frown.
Maybe you'd better explain what you're doing here.
We happen to live here.
You don't live here. I'm in this house every day and I've never seen you before. Where are Miss Martha and Miss Abby? What have you done to them?
Johnny picks up Spinalzo's shoe.
Perhaps we'd better introduce ourselves. May I present Dr. Einstein?
Dr. Einstein?
A surgeon of great distinction.
Johnny looks under the table.
And something of a magician.
Now I suppose you're going to tell me that you're Boris...
I am Jonathan Brewster.
Oh, you're Jonathan.
Oh, you've heard of me.
Yes, they talk about you.
And what do they say about me?
Well, just that there's another brother named Jonathan, that's all they say. Well, that explains everything. Now that I know who you are, I'll just be running along if you'll kindly unlock the door.
Johnny sternly eyes her. With a nervous gaze, Elaine gingerly follows him to the door.
That explains everything. Just what do you mean by that? Why do you come here at this time of night?
Well, I just thought I saw Mortimer drive up. I suppose it was you.
He bolts the door and looms over her.
You thought you saw someone drive up?
Well, yes, weren't you just outside? Isn't that your car?
You saw someone at the car?
Yes.
What else did you see?
Oh, just that's all.
She backs away from him.
Is that why you came over here?
Oh, no, I came to see Mortimer, but if he's not home, I'll...
He grabs her arm.
Giving two names.
Me.
I think she's dangerous.
Teddy.
No visitors. It's going to be a private funeral.
He strides over to the staircase.
Teddy! Teddy, tell these men who I am!
Well, that's my daughter, Alice.
Oh, no, Teddy! Teddy!
Now, Alice, don't be a tomboy. Don't play rough with the gentleman. Charge!
He bolts upstairs.
Teddy!
Johnny stuffs a handkerchief in her mouth. Einstein flips off the lights.
Dr. DeSella.
Einstein drags her downstairs. Johnny turns on the lights. His aunts wear black mourning outfits.
What's the matter? What are you doing there?
We caught a burglar, a snake thief. Go back to your room.
We'll call the police.
I'll handle this. Go back to your room. Do you hear me? Don't answer that. Don't answer that.
Elaine charges upstairs. Wearing a flowing black veil and carrying a hymnal, Abby opens the front door.
Mortimer!
First check, is he upstairs?
Mortimer, where have you been?
Never mind now, Johnny, please. Dolly, what are you doing with your best clothes on?
Mortimer!
He glimpses Johnny.
Holy... What's that?
He points to Johnny and Einstein.
What's that thing there, Dolly? That thing that looks like a cigar store, Dolly. What is that?
It's your brother, Jonathan. And this is Dr. Einstein.
Look, dear, didn't I tell you not to let anybody in the house? Who did you say it was?
It's your
Mortimer.
Brother, Jonathan.
They drove me down the stairs.
I've come back home, Mortimer.
I've come back home, Mortimer. Listen, it talks!
Yes, I talk. Mortimer, have you forgotten the things I used to do to you? When you were tied to the bedpost, the needles under your fingernails.
Mortimer!
Mortimer!
Mortimer steps closer to Johnny, studying his brother's scarred face. Mortimer draws a sharp breath and backs off.
Holy mackerel! It is Jonathan!
I'm glad you remember, Mortimer.
Yeah, I remember. How could I forget you? Where'd you get that face, Hollywood?
Johnny's eyes blaze.
Now, don't you two boys start quarreling again the minute you've seen each other.
We invited Jonathan and Dr. Einstein to stay.
What?
Just for tonight.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm staying here tonight. In fact, I'm staying here from now on.
What about me?
So there's no room for anybody else in the house. Please, Don, just a moment. So take that little squirt and beat it. Now, where's Teddy? I've got to see him. Is he upstairs?
Mr. Brewster, we don't take up much room. Johnny can sleep on a sofa and I sleep on a window seat.
Nothing to do. Window seat? Certainly not on the window seat. I'm going to sleep on the window seat.
He sits on it.
I'm going to sleep on the window seat from now on.
Mortimer.
Now look, Jonathan. Now be a good fellow. Here's $10. Go out and haunt yourself a hotel.
Johnny slaps his hand. Mortimer stamps his foot.
Mortimer, you know what I do to people who order me around.
Hey, Johnny.
Gaping, Mortimer feels Johnny's foot, then pokes his leg with a fork.
What's going to happen to Mr. Spinazzo? We can't leave him here in the window seat.
Johnny doesn't flinch at the stabbing fork. Mortimer shrugs.
Doctor? You know, Doctor, I've completely lost track of Mr. Spinazzo.
Wait, who's this Mr. Spinazzo?
A friend of ours Johnny was looking for.
Don't you bring anyone else in here. Now, come on, beat it, both of you.
It's all right, Johnny. While we are packing, I'll tell you about him.
Johnny and Einstein, both wearing dark three-piece suits, head upstairs.
I'll take care of you, Mortimer, in just a little while.
How do you like that? The guy stays away for 20 years and picks tonight out of all nights to come back. Oh, hello, Elaine. What are you doing here?
Mortimer.
What's the matter, darling? What is it?
I almost got killed.
Killed?
She embraces him.
Aunt Abby, Aunt Martha.
Oh, no.
It was Jonathan.
He mistook her for a sneak thief.
Oh, it was worse than that. He's some kind of a maniac.
I know, dear, I know.
Mortimer, I'm afraid of him.
Oh,
Martha looks perplexedly at Spinazzo's shoe.
We were married today. We were going over Niagara Falls in a barrel. Your brother tries to strangle me. A taxi is waiting, and now you want to sleep on a window seat.
Witherspoon. Donnie, you better run along home.
What?
Yes, go on home like a good girl. I got things to do.
But please.
Hello, operator. Get me Happydale 270, please.
But Mortimer, didn't you hear what I was just saying? Your own brother, Jonathan, he was trying to strangle me.
Please, this is important.
Pat.
Hello.
That's important.
Hello, Mr. Witherspoon. This is Mortimer Brewster.
Yes, Mr. Brewster, yes. Well, I don't understand you.
He was going to kill me.
Wait a minute, I can't hear the man. Look, I've got the papers all drawn up. I know it's late, but I want you to come down here and get my brother immediately. It's got to be done. Please, darling, please.
By the way, you've had the paper signed by your brother and a doctor, of course.
Oh, the doctor? Oh, holy mackerel, I forgot the doctor.
Mortimer!
Please, be quiet. Can't you see I've got to get a doctor? Hello? Well, what kind of a doctor? Family doctor?
You can take your honeymoon, your wedding ring, your taxi, your window seat, and put them in a barrel and push them all over Niagara Falls.
Thank you, darling, thank you.
She stalks off.
Well, look, why don't you come down here anyway? While you're getting here, I'll get Teddy's and the doctor's signatures both. Yeah, Elaine! Now, get both signatures. Yeah, well, come right away. Elaine! What's the matter with her?
Mortimer pokes his head out the window.
Elaine!
She storms into her house next door.
Elaine!
He sits on the window seat and folds his arms.
Oh, let me sit down. Let me think about this. Doctor.
He glances down at the bench.
Hoskins.
Leaning forward, Mortimer thoughtfully rests his chin on his hand. His eyes roam from the bench to the open window, then warily scan the living room. He gets up and peeks inside the window seat. His eyes bulge.
He gods, there's another one! Aunt Abby! Aunt Martha, come in here! No, you come in here now!
Abby walks unsteadily out of the kitchen.
Yes, dear, what is it? Where's Elaine?
Wait a minute. Didn't you promise me not to let anyone in the house while I was gone?
Well, Jonathan just walked in.
I don't mean Jonathan.
And
I don't mean Dr. Einstein. Who is that in the window seat?
We told you, Mr. Hoskins.
It is not Mr. Hoskins. There.
She looks inside.
Who can that be?
His wide eyes wigwag.
Are you trying to tell me you've never seen that man before?
I certainly am. Well, this is a fine how do you do. It's getting so anybody thinks he can walk in this house.
Now, you look here, Aunt Abby. Don't you try to get out of this. That's another one of your gentlemen, and you know it.
Mortimer, how can you say such a thing? That man's an imposter.
Mortimer's mouth drops open.
And if he came here to be buried in our cellar, he's mistaken.
You admitted to me that you put Mr. Hoskins in the window seat.
Yes, I did.
Well, this man couldn't have just got the idea from Mr. Hoskins.
Oh, no.
By the way, where is Mr. Hoskins?
He must have gone to Panama.
What, you buried him?
No, not yet. He's just down there waiting for the services, poor dear. Oh. We haven't had a minute, what with Jonathan in the house.
Jonathan?
Oh, dear. We've always wanted to hold a double funeral. But I will not read services over a total stranger.
Total stranger? Aunt Abby, how can I believe you? There are 12 men down in the cellar, and you admit you poisoned them.
Yes, I did. But you don't think I'd stoop to telling a fib? Martha, what do you think has happened?
A fib?
Mortimer slaps his thighs and sits on the window seat. He notices Johnny coming downstairs, jumps up, and waves a hand to stop him.
This may interest you, Mortimer. I've decided that we're staying. And I've also decided that you're leaving, and I mean now.
Listen, Hanson, I'm in no mood to debate the question. Are you getting out or am I throwing you out on your ear?
I've led a strange life, Mortimer.
Martha, you come straight along here. You just look and see what's in that window seat.
No!
The two men race to sit on it.
No, Aunt Abby, don't.
Mortimer gapes at Johnny. Curving his lips in a faint smile, Mortimer looks from the window seat to his brother. Johnny stoically watches Mortimer's smile grow wider. Mortimer opens his palms in carefree capitulation, gets up, and stands between his aunts with a challenging gaze.
Jonathan, let Aunt Martha see what's in the window seat.
Johnny stares coldly, his jaw firmly set.
Aunt Abby, Johnny, I owe you an apology. I've got some very good news for you. Jonathan is leaving. And he's taking Dr. Einstein and their cold companion with him.
Mortimer furrows his brow and stands squarely in front of Johnny.
Now listen, Jonathan. You're my brother. You're a Brewster. So I'm giving you a chance to get away and take the evidence with you. You can't ask for more than that. Well?
Johnny sits rigid and still.
All right, in that case, I'll have to call the police.
Mortimer crosses the room.
Don't reach for the telephone. Remember what happened to Mr. Spinalzo can happen to you, too.
Spinalzo? I knew he was a foreigner.
Put down that telephone, Mortimer.
Oh.
Abby trots to the door and opens it to young Officer O'Hara.
Hello? I saw your lights out. I thought you might have sickness in the house.
No.
Well, you got company? Well, I'm sorry I disturbed you.
Go, come in.
Yes, do come in. How right in, Officer O'Hara. This is our nephew Mortimer.
Well, pleased to meet you.
Glad to see you, fella.
And this is another nephew, Jonathan.
Pleased to make your acquaintance. So your face is familiar. Haven't I seen a picture of you somewhere before?
I don't think so.
I'll be running along.
Oh, go on. What's the hurry? Why don't you stick around until my brother leaves?
No, I got to ring in, Mr. Bruce. Say, you're not the Mortimer Brewster, the book writer and the dramatic critic, are you?
Well, yes, why?
Oh, what a break for me. I'm a playwright.
No.
I'm working on a play now.
You are?
Yeah.
Well. Maybe I could help you with it.
Oh, would you? Oh, what a break. I get wonderful ideas, but I can't spell them.
You can't? Oh, I can spell like the diggy hole, the big cuss end of blow. Yeah. Well, come on, let's go into the kitchen.
All right.
Tell you all about it.
Yeah.
Couldn't you whip up a sandwich for Officer O'Hara?
I hope you don't mind eating in the kitchen, Officer O'Hara.
And where else would you eat?
See you in a moment.
Mortimer closes the kitchen door behind them.
Now listen, Jonathan, this is your last chance. I'll keep O'Hara busy in the kitchen and give you a chance to get out. All three of you. You, Dr. Einstein, and Spinalzo.
Mortimer,
because if you don't leave here in 5 minutes, I'll bring in Officer O'Hara and introduce him to Mr. Spinalzo.
Mr. Brewster, my place.
Right with you, O'Hara. Right with you. All right.
Mortimer hurriedly ushers him back into the kitchen.
Now get going, all three of you.
Einstein taps Johnny on the shoulder. He whips around, then paces.
Doctor, this affair between my brother and myself has got to be settled.
But, Johnny, we've got trouble enough as it is. Come, let's go.
We're not going. We're going to sleep right here in this house.
What? With a cup in the kitchen and Spinalzo in the window seat?
That's all he's got on us. We'll take Spinalzo and dump him in the bay. After that, we're coming back here. Then, if he tries to interfere...
No, Johnny, no, please.
Doctor, we've got a wonderful setup here. We can make a fortune. Two old ladies as a front... Only Mortimer stands in our way. I never did like Mortimer.
Look, Johnny, please, take it easy, please.
Doctor, you know when I make up my mind...
Yeah, I know. When you make up your mind, you lose your head. Look, Johnny, Broccoli named a good setup for you.
Johnny twists his wrist.
Okay, Johnny, okay.
Take the instruments and hide them in the cellar. Move fast.
In the kitchen.
But Mr. Brewster, you don't know what goes on in Brooklyn.
Oh, I don't know.
My mother was an actress.
Oh, legitimate?
Of course she was. She was my mother.
Oh, excuse me.
Peaches no. Latour was her name.
In the living room.
Hey, Johnny, come quick.
What's the matter?
You know that hole in the cellar?
Yes.
Well, we got an ace in the hole.
Back in the kitchen.
This is no fly-by-night idea. I've been working on this thing for 12 years.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Well, rehash it in your mind. I'll be back in a minute.
Oh, I swell.
I like the first act.
Mortimer heads into the living room. Johnny and Einstein are gone. Mortimer opens the window seat.
Look, I told you.
He looks out the window.
Jonathan.
Johnny and Einstein return from the cellar.
Yes, Mortimer.
Mortimer clenches his lips.
What are you two doing still here? I thought I told you to beat it.
We're not going.
You're not going?
No.
No?
You stay out of this. All right, you asked for it. Officer O'Hara?
Coming.
Now.
If you tell O'Hara what's in the window seat, I'll tell him what's down in the cellar.
Cellar?
There's an elderly gentleman down there who seems to be very dead.
What were you doing down the cellar?
What is he doing in the cellar?
Now what are you going to tell O'Hara?
See, your eyes think my opening is swell. They want to hear the rest of it. Shall I bring them in here?
No, you can't do that. You can't do that now. You better ring in.
Oh, the heck with ringing in. You've got to be rolling now. I want to tell you the whole plot.
Yeah, well, you can't tell me in front of those two fellows. They wouldn't appreciate it.
Huh? Oh, lowbrows, huh?
Yeah, let's go someplace where we can be alone. I'll meet you there later, see?
Okay. Now. Say, how about the back room at Kelly's?
Kelly's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, fine place. Bohemian answer. Genius at work. That's the place. Now, you ring in and I'll meet you in Kelly's.
All right, fine.
Why don't you both go down in the cellar?
Well, that's all right with me.
No. There's a much more literary atmosphere in Kennedy's, I assure you. Yeah.
Okay.
Do me in the
this opening will kill you.
It will.
I'm waiting to be born, see? And the doctor comes in and starts...
Oh, the doctor!
Yeah.
Yeah, well, now, look. You ring in. I'll see you later.
Okay. Now, you won't stand me up, will you, Mr. Brewster?
Yeah, no.
This is a great play. You'll like it, I'm sure. I'll see you down there.
I can't wait. Doctor?
He gets a paper from the desk. Johnny and Einstein grin.
Oh, you're smug, aren't you? You think you got it over me? Well, you haven't. You think I'm afraid to go to the police about Spinalzo because you'll blab about Hoskins? Well, I'm not. The moment I get Spinalzo... the moment the doctor signs this, I don't care who knows about him. Hoskins, I mean. And you better feel the same way about Spinalzo. Yes, Spinalzo. You better...
Where are you going?
The doctor's. Where do you think... Oh! When I come back, I expect to find you gone. Wait for me.
He dashes outside.
We'll wait for him.
Did he look guilty?
Well, Martha, I think we can start the services now. Oh... We thought we heard you leave.
Perish the thought, dear aunties. That was just Mortimer. And speaking of services, Aunt Martha, will you make us some coffee while we take Mr. Spinalzo down to the cellar?
Oh, no. No, Jonathan, you've got to take him with you.
There's a friend of Mortimer's downstairs waiting for him.
A friend of Mortimer's?
Take his feet, Doctor. Mr. Spinalzo and he will get along fine together. They're both dead.
He must mean Mr. Hoskins.
Mr. Hoskins?
Bent over the open window seat, Johnny and Einstein stop short and look up.
You know about what's down there?
Of course we do. And he's no friend of Mortimer's. He's one of our gentlemen.
Your gentleman?
Yes. And we won't have any strangers buried in our cellar.
But Mr. Hoskins...
Mr. Hoskins is no stranger.
Besides, there's no room for Mr. Spinalzo. The cellar's crowded already.
Crowded with what?
There are 12 graves down there now.
Wrinkling their brows, Johnny and Einstein share a baffled look.
12 graves.
That leaves very little room, and we're going to need it.
You mean that you and Aunt Martha have murdered
12... Murdered? Certainly not. It's one of our charities.
Why, what we've been doing is a mercy.
So you just take your Mr. Spinalzo out of here.
You've done all that right here in this house and buried them in the cellar.
That's wonderful, Johnny. We've been chased all over the world. They stay right here in Brooklyn and they do just as good as you do.
What?
Yeah. You got 12, they got 12.
I've got 13.
No, Johnny, 12. Don't brag.
13. There's Mr. Spinalzo.
And the first one in London. Here. 2 in Johannesburg. Here. 1 in Sydney. 1 in Melbourne. 2 in San Francisco. 1 in Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix?
The filling station.
Filling station? Oh, yes.
3 in Chicago and 1 in South Bend. That makes 13.
You cannot count the one in South Bend. He died of pneumonia.
He wouldn't have died of pneumonia if I hadn't shot him.
No, Johnny, you cannot count him. You got 12, they got 12. The old ladies is just as good as you are.
Abby and Martha exchange a grin.
Oh, they are they?
Well, that's easily taken care of. All I need is one more. That's all. Just one more. And I've a pretty good idea who it is.
Outside.
I'm a very lucky man to have caught you at home, Dr. Gilchrist.
This is most irregular, most irregular.
Well, I'm sorry to have dragged you out of bed, but you see, you're the only one who can help me.
I know Teddy blows bugles, but I can't commit a man to an institution just on
that. Oh, well, if you'd only have another little talk with him, I'm sure you'd be convinced. Now, here's the house.
Mortimer stops to listen.
There goes Hoskins.
Who?
Hmm? What? I see. Oh, I see. You better wait.
Here?
Yes, I'll bring Teddy out. Well, you see, I wouldn't want to alarm the old ladies, you know, seeing a doctor and everything. You wait here, huh?
In the cemetery?
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Well,
in the cemetery.
It's Halloween.
Oh, don't worry about it. Oh, don't worry about Halloween. The pictures won't be out until after midnight. Now, look, you wait here. Make yourself comfortable. Pull up a tombstone. I'll be right back, doctor.
The cab driver.
2250.
What?
2250.
Oh, yes. Looks good on you.
Yeah. Not the suit, the meter.
Mortimer goes inside.
Looks good on you. 2250.
Later, Mortimer brings Teddy outside.
Did you give him a 21-gun salute?
Yes, for the Maxim silencer.
Hey, you, $5 and you'll own it.
Oh, no, thanks. It wouldn't fit me.
Mortimer and Teddy join Gilchrist.
Oh, Mr. President, may I have the pleasure of presenting...
Dr. Livingston.
Livingston?
Yeah, well, that's what he presumes. Mr. President, the doctor would like to have a few words with you in private.
Certainly. Welcome to Washington, Doctor. Arlington is beautiful at this time of year, is it not, Doctor?
Yes.
They stroll through the cemetery. Mortimer meets the doctor's confused gaze with a shrug.
Oh, no. That's that. Well, give me a chance to rest.
He sits on a tombstone. Next door, Elaine opens her window.
Well, so far, so good.
He glances over, and Elaine stalks off.
Not so good.
Mortimer jogs through the cemetery to her window. Elaine wears a lacy nightgown.
Do you or do you not love me?
Oh, Elaine. Elaine, how could you say such a thing? Darling, of course I love you.
Really?
Yes, darling.
He hugs her.
Well, then why have you been treating me the way you have?
Oh, Elaine. Elaine. Darling, I love you so much, I can't go through with our marriage.
Her smile withers.
Have you suddenly gone crazy?
No, I don't think so. It's only a matter of time. Look, darling. You wouldn't want to have children with three heads, would you? I mean, you wouldn't want to set up housekeeping in a padded cell. Oh, it'd be bad.
What are you talking about?
Well, I don't quite know, Elaine. Look, I probably should have told you this before, but you see... Well, insanity runs in my family. It practically gallops.
Oh, darling, just because Teddy's a little strange, that doesn't...
Oh, no, darling. No, it's way back before Teddy. No, this goes back to the first Brewster, the one who came over on the Mayflower. Yeah. You know how in those days the Indians used to scalp the settlers? Well, he used to scalp the Indians.
Oh, darling, that's ancient history.
Yes, Doctor, I'll run for a third term, but I won't be elected. And that'll mean the last of the Roosevelts in the White House.
That's what you think.
Of course, if the country insists.
Oh, darling, all this doesn't prove a thing. Look at your aunts. They're Brewsters, aren't they? And the sweetest, sanest people I've ever known.
He furrows his brow and glances next door.
Well, even they have their peculiarities.
What of it? So your family's crazy, so you're crazy. That's the way I want you, that's the way I love you. I'm crazy too, but kiss me.
No,
He kisses her.
Goodbye, Ambassador. I've enjoyed this little talk very much. Anytime you're in Washington, drop in to see me at the White House.
Teddy leaves. The doctor hurries over to the window and interrupts the lover's kiss.
Those papers. No, those
wait,
papers.
Wait.
Oh, papers, yes.
Yes, I'll commit him to any place.
You will?
I've just been appointed ambassador to Bolivia.
Ah, you see, didn't I tell you?
He lane slams the window on his hand.
No, don't worry about that. Just go on, sign the papers.
He signs.
Oh, dear.
Next door, there's a derby hat in the window seat. Abby and Martha come up from the cellar.
All right. We'll find out whose house this is. I'm warning you. You better stop it. There's no use you doing what you're doing because it'll just have to be undone.
And Abby, go to bed.
It's a terrible thing to do, to bury a good Methodist with a foreigner.
Mortimer, where have you been?
Well, I'm getting some paper signed. Is Teddy in his room?
Oh, Mortimer, what is the matter with you? Running around getting papers signed at a time like this.
Martha and I are going for the police.
Come
police! Oh, wait.
You can't go for the police.
Oh, no.
No.
Do you know what Jonathan is doing?
He's putting Mr. Hoskins and Mr. Spinazzo in together.
Well, all right, darling, let him.
In the cellar.
It's all fixed up nice now. Nice and smooth like a leak. The president will be very proud of his Panama Canal. Oh, Johnny, bet feels good already. You know, we didn't get any sleep for 48 hours.
You're forgetting, Doctor.
What?
If Jonathan and Mr. Spinazzo aren't out of this house before morning, we're going for the police.
Yes, well, all right, darling, I'll get them out. I promise you that.
Oh, well, then you get the wedding soon.
Yes, well, it's a bargain. Now, remember, no police. All right, fine. All right. Yeah, look, go to bed, will you? Look, for heaven's sake, get out of those clothes. You two look like a double blackout.
In the cellar.
My brother, Mortimer. I've just heard him upstairs.
No. I'm tired. You forget I got to operate on your face tomorrow.
You are going to operate tomorrow, Doctor. But tonight, we are taking care of Mortimer.
But Johnny, not tonight. I'm sleepy. We'll do it tomorrow, huh? Or the next day.
Look at me, Doctor. You can see that it's got to be done, can't you?
Yeah. I know that look.
It's a little late to dissolve our partnership.
Okay, Johnny, okay, we'll do it. But the quick way, huh? The quick twist like in London.
No, Doctor. I think this calls for something special. I think perhaps the Melbourne method.
Not the Melbourne method, please. 2 hours. And then when it was all over, what? The fellow in London was just as dead as the fellow in Melbourne.
Upstairs, Teddy raises his bugle.
No, don't do that, Mr. President.
But I cannot sign any proclamation without consulting my cabinet.
This must be secret.
A secret proclamation? How unusual.
Yes, it's the only way we can outsmart the other fellow.
Who's the other fellow?
That's the secret.
Oh, I see. Very clever. Well, if it's a secret proclamation, it has to be signed in secret.
Of course, Mr. President.
I'll have to put on my signing clothes.
Oh, you already have them on, Mr. President.
So I have. Wait here.
Teddy goes to his room. Einstein comes up the stairs.
Hey, Mr. Brewster. Hmm?
What is it, mice?
Einstein takes Mortimer's arm.
Hey, Mr. Brewster, you get out of this.
Mortimer knocks. The signed papers emerge from under Teddy's door.
Thank you, Mr. President. Oh, what a load off my mind. Boy, could I use a drink. Thank you for that.
This house now, will you, please?
Huh? What are you saying? Speak up, Sonny. I can't hear you.
Johnny's in a bad mood. You get out of here.
Will you stop underplaying? I can't hear you.
Please, listen to me.
Hey, stop all this. What are you doing? Look, Doc, are you really a doctor?
Yes, Heidelberg, 1919. You come now.
Heidelberg? How'd you come to hook up with Jonathan?
I tell you later about that, but you go now. Please listen to me.
Einstein tugs him to the door.
Stop it, Doctor. Now stop it.
You get out of here. Look, when Johnny's in that mood, he's a madman. He's a maniac. And then things happen. Horrible things. You get out of here.
Stop it. Now look, stop telling me about Jonathan. I'll take care of Jonathan. You take care of yourself. Now get going, little fella.
Mortimer pats his
flask. What's
that?
Wait a minute.
Oh, no, Max, not
I can use that.
Not
use that. Please, only for dramatic critics. Now look, you beat it before things start popping around here.
But look, Mr. Brewster, please. You've just been married. You have a nice little wife waiting for you. Please go now. Please.
He slams the door and clutches his head.
Tell me, don't those plays you see all the time teach you anything?
Oh, stop it. Don't get me on the subject of plays. I've got a lot on my mind now. I've got to wait here for Mr. Witherspoon.
At least people in plays act like they got sense.
Oh, you think so? Did you ever see anybody in a play act like they got intelligence?
How can somebody be so
stupid?
Well,
they have my job for a few nights. Listen to me, brother. When you get out of prison, you have yourself wheeled over to the Garrick Theater. There's a play there that's a honey. It's so bad it'll still be running when you get out. Now, in it, there's a man. Now, listen to this. Now, he knows he's in a house with murderers, so he ought to know he's in danger. He's even been warned to get out of the house. And does he go?
Yes.
No, he doesn't. He stays. This fella doesn't even have sense enough to be scared or to be on his guard. No. The murderer even invites him to sit down. And what do you think he does?
Oh, I don't know.
He sits down. Is that one of... He deliberately pulls up a chair like that, and he sits down in it.
Johnny secretly watches Mortimer sit.
So there he is, all waiting to be trussed up and gagged. What do you think they used to truss him up with?
What?
The curtain cord.
Johnny sneaks to a curtain and cuts the cord.
But didn't he see him get it?
See him get it? No, the silly chump sits down with his back toward the murderer. All he has to do is look around, but does he? No.
He sits with his back to Johnny.
Look, don't you see Brother Heidelberg in a play, or even in a movie for that matter? A fella never sees or hears anything. No, that's right.
But what does he do?
What does he do? Well, the big chump sits there. This fellow is supposed to be bright. He sits there. Now, get a load of this. Look,
Johnny
look at the
sidles
attitude.
Up to Mortimer.
Large as life. He sits there waiting to be tied up and gagged. The big dog.
Johnny wraps the curtain cord around Mortimer's arms while Einstein stuffs a handkerchief in his gaping mouth.
You were right about that fellow. He wasn't very bright.
Later, Mortimer's bound and gagged.
Yes, Mortimer. I've been away for 20 years, but never, my dear brother, were you out of my mind.
Johnny lights candles in the dark.
In Melbourne one night, I dreamt of you.
He snuffs a match with his fingers. Mortimer watches Johnny open a surgical case. The sharp silver instruments gleam in the flickering candlelight. Mortimer's eyes grow wide. His face glistens with sweat. At the table, Einstein sinks into a chair and strokes his weary brow. Mortimer squirms, tugging on the rope which ties his neck and legs together.
The more you struggle, Mortimer, the more you strangle yourself.
Johnny sniffs a vial.
Later on, you may consider that a blessing.
From the surgical case, Johnny takes out a pair of forceps. Opening and closing the slender pincers, he casts a snapping shadow on Mortimer's sweat-beaded face. Mortimer trembles. Einstein wearily wipes his forehead with a napkin, settles back in his chair, and closes his eyes. Johnny takes a knife from the case and runs his thumb down the long blade. Suddenly, Einstein frantically grabs his flask, swigs, then scowls. He briskly shakes the empty bottle, then slumps back in his chair. Johnny puts on a pair of rubber gloves.
Now, doctor, we go to work.
Johnny, for me, please, the quick way, please.
Doctor, this must be an artistic achievement.
Please.
After all, we're performing before a very distinguished critic.
Johnny, please.
Doctor.
All right, let's get it over with. Oh, but Johnny, I cannot see this without a drink.
Pull yourself together, doctor.
But I can't pull myself together without a drink. Johnny, you remember when we came in here, there was some wine. They took it. Where did they put it?
Mortimer brightens.
Johnny, I found some wine. Here, I split it with you. We both have a drink before we operate.
He pours two glasses.
We don't have to operate without a drink.
Einstein raises his glass in a toast. Johnny smells the bouquet.
Doctor, one moment, please. Where are your manners?
Johnny nods at his bound brother.
Yes, Mortimer. I realize now that it was you who brought me back to Brooklyn. We drink to you.
Doctor, to my dear dead brother.
They toast in front of Mortimer's face. They drop their glasses as Teddy storms the landing, then returns to his room. Mortimer wags his head in frustration.
That idiot! He goes next! That's all, he
no,
goes
not Teddy,
next!
Not Teddy, please, that's where
we'll
I stop.
We'll get to him later.
Not Teddy, we won't get to him at all!
No, we have to work fast. The quick way.
Oh, the quick way? Oh, yes. If it has to be, then the quick way, yes, I'll help you with that.
A policeman's shadow fills the door's windows. Einstein quickly hides the surgical case under the table. Officer O'Hara enters and glances around the dim room.
Hey, the colonel'll have to quit blowing that horn.
It's all right, officer. We're taking the bugle away from him.
I better talk to him myself. Where's the lights?
O'Hara flicks on the lights and heads upstairs.
Hey! You stood me up! I've been waiting for you for over an hour, Kelly's.
He steps over to Mortimer.
What happened to him?
Nothing. He was explaining a play he saw the other night, and that's what happened to a man in a play.
Oh, I see.
Did that really happen at a play you saw? How do you like that? You can't trust nobody no more. They practically stole that from the second act of my play. You know, in the second act, just before... Well, maybe I better start at the beginning.
Mortimer tries to talk through his gag.
Oh, yeah, sure.
O'Hara goes to untie the gag, then stops.
No. You've got to hear the plot.
Mortimer's eyes bulge.
My mother's sitting there making up, see? And like a flash, all of a sudden, out of a clear sky, the door comes open, and a man with a black mustache comes in. He turns to my mother and he says, Miss Peaches Latour, will you marry me? Well, that's the first scene. My mother doesn't tell him that they're married. That's the surprise.
Johnny sneaks behind him with a switchblade.
All right, 25 years pass. Well, in the meantime, there's me, growing into a magnificent specimen. So what do? I join the police force and become one of New York's finest.
Mortimer spots Johnny's knife.
Crooked laundry, see? Little do I know it, but there's a dope fiend with a long knife trailing after me. I'm in great danger. It's getting you, ain't it? See it in your eyes.
Sneaking toward O'Hara, Johnny pushes Einstein away. The doctor takes off his shoe.
All of a sudden, a fire breaks out.
Einstein clubs Johnny, knocking him out.
Who do you think's leading him? Mayor Fiorella LaGuardia.
He glimpses Johnny unconscious on the stairs.
What's the matter with him?
Probably your play put him to sleep.
What?
I personally, I like it very much.
It's probably over his head, huh?
Yeah.
Where have I seen that face before?
No, please, no.
Well, the scene changes. It's an evolving stage. I'm walking along my beat one night, casual-like, when a guy that I'm following, it turns out he's really following me. Don't let nobody in. I figures I'll outsmart him. There's a vacant house in the corner.
Hey,
so I ducks in there. I stand there.
Einstein dashes upstairs.
Pulls up my gun, braces myself against the wall, and I says, come in.
O'Hara aims his gun at the door. Brophy and a wiry officer enter.
Oh, hello, boys.
What the Sam Hill's going on here?
Well, look, Sarge, what do you think? This is Mortimer Brewster. He's going to help me write my play.
You have to tie him up to make him listen?
O'Hara, you better report him to the station. Why didn't you ring in? You've got the whole force out looking for you. Right in the middle of the second act. Did they send you guys here looking for me?
No. We came to warn the old ladies that there's the devil to pay. The colonel blew that bugle again.
I heard him.
And the neighbors are all phoning in. The lieutenant is on the warpath. He says we've got to put him away someplace. Now, who the heck is this?
That's Mr. Brewster's brother. My play put him to sleep.
Oh, that's the one that ran away, so he came back. Brophy, get me Mac. And if you've got yourself in a mess, you're 2 hours overdue at the station. I better let him know that I found you.
While Brophy's on the phone, O'Hara shakes Johnny awake.
Tell the lieutenant he can call off the big manhunt. We found him.
Johnny gapes.
At the Brewster house. Shall we bring him in? All right. We'll hold him right here.
O'Hara brushes off Johnny's suit.
The lieutenant is on his way over.
So I've been turned in, eh? All right. You got me. I suppose you and my stool pigeon brother will split the reward.
Reward?
Yes, reward. Now I'll do some turning in.
Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Brewster.
You think my aunts are sweet, charming old ladies, don't you? Well, there's 13 bodies buried in the cellar.
Mortimer leaps to his feet and rushes over, still gagged and tied to the chair.
They're friends of ours.
I'll show them to you.
Don't you make any trouble for them, do you hear me? Never mind, Mr. Brewster, leave them to me. I'll take care of him.
You come down to the cellar.
Wait a minute.
13 bodies. I'll show you where they're buried.
Oh, yeah? Go on down the cellar with them, O'Hara.
Yes, come to the cellar.
Well, look, do I have to?
Holding up the chair, Mortimer hops over to stop them.
Go on down the cellar with them.
Hold on, please, Mr. Brewster. I'll tell you the rest of my play later.
Go on down the cellar with him.
Gee, do I have to, Sarge? Look at that puss. He looks like Boris Karloff.
No! Sarge!
Johnny chokes O'Hara, who accidentally punches Mortimer in the face. He topples backward to the floor. At the top of the stairs, Einstein hides. Johnny slugs Brophy, then dives on top of him. O'Hara joins the pile. Mortimer gets up from the shattered chair and pulls a handkerchief out of his mouth.
I got it! Back! Look out!
Go on, fight.
He sits wearily on the stairs.
That's enough. Everybody off.
He gets a silver cigarette case from his suit pocket.
Pat, look out!
Amazing.
With a rope and his gag hanging around his neck, Mortimer pops a cigarette in his mouth.
Oh, God!
Such a fine day, too. All I did was cross the bridge and I was in Brooklyn. Amazing.
He strikes a match and lights his smoke. Debris crashes around him.
No, don't bother me, don't.
Buddy, you could use this in the third act.
Oh, I got something better than this, let me tell you.
Johnny cracks a chair over O'Hara's back, then slugs him. O'Hara tumbles into the window seat.
I got the paper signed. Papers are all signed. What do I care?
Go ahead. Fight.
O'Hara peeks out of the window seat as a chair flies over.
Witherspoon. Oh, I better call out to see if Witherspoon is left. Telephone. Hey.
Johnny swings back the phone.
I'll get every one of you. I hate cops. I'll brain the first one that comes near me.
Yeah, a little higher, please, buddy. Thank you very much.
Johnny raises the phone. Oh. Brophy and the other officer club his head.
Get him, Pat.
Oh, that won't have any effect.
Johnny collapses.
Oh, it did. Isn't that amazing?
Johnny lies unconscious on the floor.
Oh, dear. Wish I could relax like that. Witherspoon.
Come in.
A lanky, mustached man in a double-breasted suit and a wide-brimmed fedora steps inside. Glimpsing him, the wiry officer and sergeant stand at attention. Mortimer shrugs, and O'Hara briskly stands up in the window seat.
What has occurred?
Well,
never mind. Did I tell you I'd handle this myself?
Oh, well, Lieutenant, we were just acting in self-defense.
What happened? They put up a fight?
This isn't the one that blows the bugle. This is his brother. He tried to kill O'Hara.
All I said was that he looked like Boris Karloff.
Boris? Turn him over.
They roll Johnny onto his back.
Kind of think he's wanted somewhere.
Oh, you kind of think he's wanted somewhere. If you guys can't look at the circulars we put up on the station, you can at least read sure detective stories. Certainly he's wanted somewhere. In Indiana. He escaped from the prison for criminal insane. He's a lifer.
That's my brother.
For Pete's sake, that's the way they described him. He looked like Karloff. Why'd you have to knock him out?
He tried to get us to go down the cellar. He says there's 13 bodies buried down there.
13 bodies buried in the cellar, and that don't tip you off the guy comes out of a nut house.
Thanks, Doc. Say, Lieutenant, about my not ringing in, I want you to put you straight.
Where have you been all night?
Well,
and don't bother to tell me.
Well, I was right here writing a play with Mortimer Brewster.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have a long time on that play.
Yeah?
You're suspended. Now, go on, report in. Take this guy out in the kitchen and bring him, too. I want to find out where his
accomplice is. What is the meaning of this commotion?
He's the guy who helped him escape. He's wanted, too.
Teddy comes downstairs.
48 hours I've been after these guys. Nothing to eat, no sleep. No wonder Brooklyn's in the shape it's in, with flatheads like you on the force, falling for a story like that. 13 bodies buried down in the cellar.
But there are 13 bodies in the cellar.
Who are you?
I'm President Roosevelt.
What the blazes is this?
He's the guy that blows the bugle.
Howdy, Colonel.
The policemen salute Teddy. The lieutenant frowns.
Well, Colonel, you've blown your last bugle. Come on, get this guy out of here.
Dear me, another yellow fever victim?
What?
All the bodies in the cellar are yellow fever victims.
No, Colonel. This is a spy. We caught him at the White House.
Take him out and bring him, too. I want to question him.
If there's any questioning of spies, that's my department.
Hey, you keep out of that.
You're forgetting. That as president, I am also head of the Secret Service.
Teddy follows the policeman into the kitchen. Mortimer glimpses the lieutenant smelling the elderberry wine.
Who are you? What's your name?
Usually I'm Mortimer Brewster, but I'm not quite myself today.
Oh, you're his brother. Now, okay, Mr. Brewster, no argument. He's got to be put away.
Oh, no arguments, Captain, no arguments. Look, just a minute. Take it easy. Read this. Teddy's going to go to Happy Dale tonight. I'm just waiting here for Mr. Witherspoon, that's
all. Well, as long as he's going someplace. He's scaring the neighbors, what with that bugle and all. That cockeyed story about 13 bodies being burnt.
The lieutenant's eyes narrow. Holding Teddy's bugle, Mortimer furrows his brow and meets the lieutenant's squinty gaze.
You know, I've been without sleep for 48 hours. I'm liable to think anything.
Yes, Captain, I know just how you feel.
There's people dumb enough to believe a story like that.
Yeah, but
last year over in Greenprint, there was a crazy guy starting a murder rumor. I had to dig up a whole half-acre lot before I could prove...
Oh, what's this?
What's that? These papers ain't no good.
Why not?
He signed a Theodore Roosevelt.
Outside, Witherspoon chats with the cab driver and O'Hara.
Our taxi cab engaged?
Yeah, and lose them dough every minute. Got any offers?
I'm Mr. Witherspoon of the Happydale Sanitarium. I have come here to collect a Brewster. I would like you to drive us back to the sanitarium.
The cab driver nods.
I knew this would end up in a nut house.
We like to think of it as a rest home.
Mr. Witherspoon opens the front door and glances around. Mortimer is in the den with Teddy and the lieutenant. The other policemen are in the kitchen.
Mr. Brewster?
Mr. Brewster? Mr. Witherspoon is here.
He slams the front door. In the den.
Posing the spies to steal this document and find the name Theodore Roosevelt on it. Think what that would mean to the safety of the nation.
No, it's chicanery. It's...
Oh, what English? Come on,
Lieutenant. He's come through, Lieutenant. He's ready to talk.
How am I getting there?
Yes, sir.
But let me explain. The name Brewster is code for Roosevelt.
Code for Roosevelt?
Yes, don't you see? Take the name Brewster. Take away the B, and what have you got?
Rooster.
Huh? And what does a rooster do?
Crows.
It crows. And where do you hunt in Africa?
On the belt.
There you are. Crow's Veld.
Ingenious. My compliments to the boys in the code department.
Hey, that's all right. Do that again for me, will you?
Never mind. Give me that pen.
Teddy signs.
This is fun.
Oh, now, all I gotta get is Witherspoon.
He scurries into the living room and shakes Witherspoon's hand.
Oh, Mr. Witherspoon, I can't tell you how glad I am to see you. Mr. Witherspoon, before... Look, you will take good care of Teddy at Happy Dale, won't
you? Best of care of him, Mr. Brewster.
Oh, that's fine. And no wagon when he leaves or anything.
Why? To take him away?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, never, never. Oh, taxi cabs. We always have. I have one waiting now.
Yes. Look, it means a great deal to me.
Yes.
You will personally see that Teddy's happy at Happy Dale, won't
He'll
you?
He'll be very happy at Happy Dale.
Oh, that's good. They're so sensitive, you know.
You know, I sometimes envy some of our patients secretly, you know.
Oh, you do? Mm. Oh, it must be a nice place. Of course, I've never been to Happy Dale. And...
Well, you never can tell. Oh, this is a particularly happy moment for me tonight, Mr. Brewster. Yes, I have never met a dramatic critic, and I've been so anxious to.
All the words are full of
Yes, I have here a little something that I think will explain to you what we're trying to do out there at Happy Dale.
Oh, pamphlet about Happy Dale.
Oh, no. It's a play. Something I've been working on for some time now. It's a dramatization, really, of many of the little incidents that have happened there at Happy Dale.
Captain! Captain!
Now,
Captain!
I want you to read this very carefully, and I want you to be just as harsh as
you like
in your criticism.
Oh, no, don't worry.
Captain,
this is Mr. Witherspoon.
Oh, yes, yes. He'll be very happy at Happy Dale. Come, my boy.
What is this? Oh. No, Mr. Witherspoon, you've got it wrong. This is Captain Rooney, Mr. Witherspoon.
The police?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sure. Here are the papers, all signed. Well, you can take them away, Sober.
I'll be in my office vetoing some bills.
Mr. President, I have good news for you. Your term of office is over.
Is this March the 4th?
Practically.
Let's see. Oh, now I go on my hunting trip to Africa. Well, I must get started immediately.
Teddy stops short as Witherspoon plants his hands on his hips and pokes out his paunch.
Is he trying to move into the White House before I've moved out?
Who, Mr. President?
Taft.
Witherspoon hides his belly under his overcoat.
No, Teddy. This isn't Mr. Taft. It's Mr. Witherspoon. He's going to be your guide to Africa.
Bully. Wait right here. I'll bring down my equipment.
Happy man.
Goodbye, Aunt Abby. Goodbye, Aunt Martha. I'm on my way to Africa. Isn't it wonderful? Sure!
Mortimer holds the clock hands in place.
It's all right, darling. I've got it, though.
Oh, dear. And Happy Dale is full of staircases.
Outside, Elaine cuts through the cemetery, holding her coat closed against the wind.
You've come to meet Teddy, haven't you?
No, he's come to take him. Teddy's been blowing his bugle again.
Oh, no. No, he can't go now. We won't permit it.
We promised to take his bugle away from him. We won't be separated from Teddy.
I'm sorry.
Mortimer, how can you allow this? You promised.
Mr. Brewster's got nothing to do with this, lady. The law's the law. Teddy's committed himself and he's got to go.
Well, if he's going, we're going too.
Yes, you'll have to take us with him.
Well, now, why not? Why not indeed?
Oh, well, now, really, it's very sweet of them to want to go, but it's quite impossible. We never take sane people at Happy Dale. Oh, no.
Mortimer beckons him close. No.
These two little sane people mixed up with all the others would get lost in the shuffle, wouldn't they? You could arrange that.
No. Too dangerous. Dissension? Jealousy?
Outside, Elaine opens a window and peeks inside.
Now, let's be sensible, ladies. Here I am wasting my time. I could be doing some serious work. You know, ladies, there are still murders to be solved in Brooklyn. It ain't only his bugle blowing, the neighbors are afraid of him, but things are going to get worse. We're liable to be put to the trouble of having to dig up your cellar.
Oh, cellar?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Teddy's been telling around there's 13 bodies buried in the cellar.
Well, there are 13 bodies in our cellar.
Witherspoon and Elaine gape. Rooney's smile fades into a wide-eyed stare.
What?
Yes,
you just ask our nephew, Mortimer?
Mortimer brings the bugle to his lips.
Charge!
On the upstairs landing, Teddy frowns at Mortimer.
Now, Mortimer, you behave yourself. You know very well there are 13 bodies down in our cellar.
Certainly there are 13 bodies down in the cellar, and there are hundreds more up in the attic, Captain.
Teddy waves his finger in a cuckoo sign, then goes back to his room.
What is this?
You mustn't mind, Mortimer.
How about it, Lieutenant?
I'll be right there.
He's been a little strange all day.
Lady, right now I wouldn't know what is and what ain't strange anymore. I'm going to have a look in that cellar.
I'll tell you what we do, Captain. I'll bring my bodies down from the attic, and you get yours up from the cellar, and we'll get them all together, and we'll send them to Happydale.
No, you wouldn't have to dig. The graves are all marked. We put flowers on them every Sunday.
Flowers?
Sure, I put neon lights on mine.
He points to his aunt.
Humidum. Yes, what?
There's one down there, a Mr. Spinalzo.
Hasn't got it yet.
Who doesn't belong here and who's going to have to leave. But the other 12 are our gentlemen.
Your gentlemen?
Oh, you'd like mine better. None of mine are gentlemen.
You don't mind him at all.
No, he's
not married today.
There is a happy day far, far away. There is a happy...
Yeah. You got it. It's amazing.
Look, sir, but don't you think you can find room for the ladies?
Just the ladies?
Just the ladies.
Me, sir. How about it, Super?
Well, of course, they'd have to be committed.
Well, Teddy committed himself. Couldn't they commit themselves? All they have to do is sign the papers.
Certainly.
Oh, well, if we can go with Teddy, we'll sign the papers.
Come along,
where
darling.
Are they? Yes, where are they?
I have them, ladies. I have them right here.
Sign them up, will you, Super? I want to get this all cleaned up. I'm going out and talk to that spy. Maybe I can understand him. 13 bodies out
in the cellar. Ladies, if you will sign right here.
Outside in the swirling wind, Elaine quietly opens a bulkhead door and climbs down into the cellar. Upstairs, Einstein sneaks down with his suitcase.
Yes, please. It's on the right-hand side, right there.
I'm really looking forward to going. The neighborhood here has changed so.
Yes, especially since they won that old pennant thing.
Abby signs.
Oh, dear, I'm so sorry we've overlooked something.
What?
It is absolutely compulsory that we have the signature of a physician.
Oh, doctor.
Oh, Dr. Einstein. Come here and sign some papers, please.
Good night.
Come here, Dr. Einstein.
A doctor?
Oh, yes. Dr. Einstein almost operated on me earlier this evening. Come along, doctor. Here. Now just sign right here, please, doctor.
Yes.
Where are you leaving, doctor?
Yes, please.
Oh, aren't you going to wait for Jonathan?
I don't think we go to the same place.
Hello, Mike. We picked up that guy that's wanted in Indiana. His accomplice description is right on the circular. It's on the desk in front of you. Read it to me, will you?
Einstein stops short in front of Rooney on the phone.
About 40? 5'3"? 140 pounds? Popeyes?
Einstein shuts his eyes.
Talks with a German accent? Poses as a doctor? Okay, Mike, thanks.
It's all right, Lieutenant Rooney. The doctor here has completed the signatures.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Doc. You've done Brooklyn a great service.
Rooney pats him on the back and goes into the kitchen. Einstein bolts for the door.
But Dr. Einstein!
He rushes outside.
Now, Mr. Witherspoon?
No, you're Mr. Witherspoon. I'm Mr. Wooster.
It's contagious, yes. It's your turn.
Oh, now, don't play games.
You sign as next to kin.
Oh, the name. Why did you say so? I'm all confused.
Mortimer signs. Teddy comes out of his room in his safari khakis.
Mr. Witherspoon! Spoon.
Mortimer hands him a spoon.
Come up and pack my duffel. Duffel?
Yeah, duffel. Pack his duffel. He's the president, you know.
Oh. And bring along my bugle.
Mortimer nods to Witherspoon.
President.
Witherspoon picks up Teddy's bugle, writes a fallen crystal wine glass on the table, then steps over to the stairs. He pauses on the landing.
Don't charge.
Witherspoon grins. Mortimer cocks a suspicious eyebrow. Witherspoon's smile fades as he heads upstairs. Meanwhile, Martha and Abby whisper.
Mortimer. Mortimer, we're really very worried about something.
Oh, now, darling, don't be worried.
He kisses Abby.
Me too, Mortimer.
Well, of course not. You're both going to be very happy at Happy Dale, really.
Oh, yes, dear.
Give my word.
We're very happy about the whole thing, but that's just it. We don't want anything to go wrong.
Well, what can go wrong?
Mortimer, will they investigate those signatures?
Oh, no, they won't look up Dr. Einstein.
Oh, but it's not his signature, dear. Mm-hmm. It's yours.
Mine?
You see, you signed as next of kin.
Well, what's wrong about that, darling?
Well, Father, you tell him no. There. Well, dear.
What, dear?
You're not really a Brewster.
What?
Your mother came to us as a cook, and you were born about 3 months afterwards. And she was such a sweet woman and such a good cook. We didn't want to lose her, so Brother married her. Your real father was a cook, too. He was a chef on a tramp steamer.
Mortimer swallows.
You mean, I'm not really a Brewster?
Abby shakes her head.
Oh, darling. I don't feel so badly about it.
And I'm sure it won't make any difference to Elaine.
No.
Mortimer kisses them both, then rushes to the window.
Elaine! Elaine! Where are you? Can you hear me? I'm not really a Brewster. I'm a son of a scene cook.
Mortimer!
Elaine rushes up from the cellar. Mortimer smothers her with a kiss as Rooney enters.
What's all the screaming about?
But
it's way past her bedtime. Quiet.
Mortimer locks his wife in a kiss and carries her to the door.
But Mortimer!
Goodbye!
His aunts wave as he leaves.
What is all this?
They're going on their honeymoon.
Well, they're off to a flying start.
Outside, Mortimer carries Elaine past O'Hara and the cab driver.
Mortimer,
I really missed
You loan two cabs.
Mortimer,
I mean the meter.
Oh, Mortimer.
The newlyweds melt into a breathless kiss. The cab driver leans close.
Oh, Mortimer.
Oh, we're going to Niagara Falls. Call me a cab, dear.
Yes, love. But Mr. Brewster.
No, I'm not a Brewster. I'm a son of a sea cook.
He picks up Elaine.
Charles! I'm not a cab driver. I'm a coffee pot.
He makes a handle and spout with his arms as Mortimer carries Elaine over the threshold of her house. Words appear. The end. A Warner Brothers First National Picture. Credits appear. The players: Cary Grant as Mortimer Brewster, Priscilla Lane as Elaine Harper, Raymond Massey as Jonathan Brewster, Jack Carson as O'Hara, Edward Everett Horton as Mr. Witherspoon, Peter Lorre as Dr. Einstein, James Gleason as Lieutenant Rooney, Josephine Hull as Abby Brewster, Jean Adair as Martha Brewster, John Alexander as Teddy Roosevelt Brewster, Grant Mitchell as Reverend Harper, Edward McNamara as Brophy, Gary Owen as the taxicab driver, and others.